This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
The Muslims, when they ruled the city of Jerusalem for more than 1,000 years, what did they do with it? Did they stop the Jewish people from praying there? Did they tell the Christians to get lost? Or did they allow them to pray in there? Brace yourself for evidence. I'm going to present some evidence to you so that you realize that Muslims are the only people who have behaved the best historically when they had possession of this holy site, which belongs to all three faiths: Haram, Masjid al-Nabawi, and Masjid al-Aqsa. So these are the three most important sites of Islam. No one can take them away from us, no matter how hard they try. These sites belong to Islam and Muslims. And what did the Muslims do with these sites? Is the question. This is what I want to address very quickly. How did the Muslims, when they ruled the city of Jerusalem for more than 1,000 years, what did they do with it? Did they stop the Jewish people from praying there? Did they tell the Christians to get lost? Or did they allow them to pray in there? Brace yourselves for evidence. I'm going to present some evidence to you so that you realize that Muslims are the only people who have behaved the best historically when they had possession of this holy site, which belongs to all three faiths. No doubt, it's holy for Christians, it's holy for Jews, it's holy for Muslims. But the question is, historically, who behaved the best? Who deserves to hold it? Who took care of it? Who opened the gates of it? So let's talk about what happened to it. First of all, Jerusalem is a city which was initially taken by Yusha ibn Nun alayhi salam after Musa alayhi salam tried to take this land, the land of Canaan or Canaan. That's what the people of Philistine, people of Palestine were called. The Israelites took this place just after Musa alayhi salam, this land, okay, they claimed it for the Israelites. Then came after Musa alayhi salam, Israelite prophets who lived there, Dawud alayhi salam and Sulaiman alayhi salam. They ruled directly from Jerusalem or Jerusalem as their capital. Dawud alayhi salam first and then Sulaiman. Then after Sulaiman alayhi salam passed away, nearly 1000 BC, remember the dates, nearly 1000 BC according to estimates. Okay. Soon after that, the Jewish people, actually we shouldn't call them Jewish people, we should call them the Israelites, Banu Israel, because this title Jew came very late. It was used for the Israelites by the Romans, okay, because the province was called Judea. Because of the name of the province, everyone who lived in that province was called a Jew, okay, because not everyone was from the children of Judah. Judah was one tribe, okay. There were many other Jewish tribes. So after Suleiman or Solomon, King Solomon passed away, these two states split from each other. The north became the state of Israel, the south became the state of Judea. In the north, there were 10 tribes of the Israelites. In the south, there were 2.5 tribes of Israelites, the Judahites, the Levites, and the Benjamites. In the north, the remaining 10 tribes. Then in 721 BC, 721 or 723 BC, if I remember correctly, the Assyrians, a people who ruled northern Iraq and parts of Syria and some parts of Turkey, these people were called Assyrians. They came and attacked the northern state of Israel. They attacked the northern state of Israel and left the southern state of Judea alone. Okay, Judea's capital was Jerusalem. So 2.5 tribes were ruling at the time the state of Judea with the capital Jerusalem at the middle. Okay, so are you with me so far? Are you with me so far, everyone? Okay, after Sulaiman alayhi salam passed away, after he died, the Israelites split into two states, politically speaking. The north, the state of Israel, 10 tribes. The south, almost 2.5 tribes in the south in Judea. Right? Now, Assyrians attack from the north and they decimate, completely decimate the state of Israel and take 10 Jewish or Israelite tribes into exile. Are you listening? This is almost 700 years before Isa alayhi salam, 721 BC. Okay, so they decimate the northern state of Israel. 10 tribes of the Israelites disappear from history. They are gone. To this day, we don't know what happened to them, where they went, what their law was, what version of Judaism they followed, what view they had on Musa alayhi salam and his teachings. What we know today of Judaism predominantly mainly comes from 2.5 tribes, the Levites and the Judahites and the Benjamites. So they remained in the south. So 10 tribes simply disappear from the face of the earth. They are taken into exile, they are enslaved, and we don't know thenceforth what happened to them. Now many people claim descent from those 10 tribes, including Pashtuns, Pathans, in Pakistan. If you sit with some Pashtun elders in the tribal regions of Pakistan, you ask them, what is your origin? They will say, we are those 10 lost tribes of Israel. Although they have no grounds to claim that. I don't accept that theory. That's a very famous, a prominent theory among the Pashtun people, that we are those 10 lost tribes of Israel. In reality, the Pashtuns are a mixture of a lot of people. Okay, a lot of people, that includes the Turks, that includes the Greeks, okay, and many other people, many other nations, right? So there is no ground or no basis to claim that the Pashtun. Likewise, some other people like Khazaria, near Georgia, there was a state called Khazaria. Those people also claimed, or they were asked by Hazda ibn Shaprut in the 10th century, if they are those 10 lost tribes of Israel. Because the Israelites were always looking for them. What happened to them? What happened to the scripture? What happened to their version of the Old Testament or the writings of the prophets? Everything was lost, gone, completely gone from history. What remained was two tribes. Now what happened to these two tribes? In the year 587 BC, the king of Babylon, known as Nebuchadnezzar, or in the Arabic language, Bukhtanasar. This king, he attacked the remaining or the remnants of the Israelites that ruled the state of Judea from the capital called Jerusalem. So he took the entire population of the Jewish people, or the Israelites, he took them to Iraq, to Babylon. Stay with me on this. He took them to Babylon. And then these Israelites, they started to live in Iraq. And this is where Daniel, Prophet Daniel, or Daniel alayhi salam, the famous prophet Daniel, right? In the time of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, when parts of Iraq were conquered, they actually found the body of Prophet Daniel, or Daniel alayhi salam. Okay, and then they buried it again. Okay, so Prophet Daniel was born in Iraq, in Babylon. Then, having lived in Iraq, the Israelites were allowed to come back to the land of Palestine, to the city of Jerusalem, by a Persian king, Achaemenid Persian king called Cyrus. Cyrus, a lot of people think, with some good reasons, that he could have been Dhulqarnain. Okay, a lot of people claim that Alexander Iskandar was Dhulqarnain, but that theory cannot be true, because Dhulqarnain was a believer. Dhulqarnain was a mawahid. He believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah mentions him in good terms in the Quran. Allah mentions his iman, right? And Alexander was a pagan. Alexander was, a devotee of pagan gods. Okay, this is very clear from history. So Alexander is not a candidate. Even though some tafsirs of the Quran mention him as an option, but that option cannot be sustained. Others say it could be Cyrus, okay, who was a Persian king who allowed the Israelites to return out of his goodwill, out of his mercy for the Israelites. He allowed them to return to the land of Palestine to build the temple, okay, again. So when Bukhtonasar, Nebuchadnezzar, he took the city of Jerusalem in 587 BC, he completely destroyed the Temple of Solomon. Masjid al-Aqsa was destroyed by the Babylonians.